Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. You're with co-host Joe this weekend. Always happy to be with you all. And the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Sometimes management and even the clients disagree with the content, but that's okay. Management appreciates our First Amendment rights, and they allow us to continue, unlike the government, which I'll get into during the segment. However, you should show them some love nonetheless. Not the government, but the website for Main Street Radio Network at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Give some hits, give some accounts, and then go to their social media pages. Give some likes on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, on Twitter at Main Street Radio, on Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network. And also, don't forget that the Silk or Joe Show is on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. And in addition to all of that, while you're at it, you can talk about that. You can go visit the pages for the Alan Nathan Show, which I guest host sometimes, as was the case earlier this week, in fact, alannathan.com or on Twitter at Alan Nathan. And also, both shows are under the heading for Facebook on the Main Street Radio Network's page there. All right. So I did promise to get into a little bit on the idea of injustice here. Now, this headline that caught my attention, there was this guy who, I didn't hear about this in 2020 for some reason. Usually I would think this is something I would heard about, or maybe it just got swallowed by all the other nonsense going on that year. But there was a guy in March of 2020 who just posted some random joke on Twitter saying that, like, I guess the local sheriff's office was given the idea to infect, or given the order to shoot infected people with COVID on sight. And, you know, I guess it was a reference to a movie or something, World War Z. I never saw the movie, so I don't really get it myself. But the reaction from the local area was not so good. Within hours of this guy posting this Facebook message, a SWAT team was at his house, and he was arrested, charged with felony terrorism, just for telling that joke that was, I guess, a movie reference. So you gotta watch it, folks, what you post on social media, because even if it's just a joke, no one's gonna take it seriously. Even if it's a joke that's not threatening anybody, doesn't name anyone specific that's gonna be targeted, you're not saying, I'm gonna kill somebody or whatever, it's just you over-exaggerating the situation a bit about the government response, they're going to send a SWAT team after you, and you're going to, it's going to take you 3 years to get your name cleared, because they just had the court fortunately rule that it was protected speech under the First Amendment, because, duh, it wasn't threatening anybody. But still, within hours, a SWAT team was at the dude's door because of this post. And now, this was just one small area in Louisiana that this happened. What's going on in your area? What's, am I going to get a SWAT team coming to my door within hours of this show going on the air? Who knows? And it's not the only place where local law enforcement has been getting in on the things, by the way. New Jersey school superintendent had been caught on video, thanks to James O'Keefe's O'Keefe Media Group. This superintendent was saying that she was calling police on anybody who looked Trumpish. That's her word, Trumpish. Anyone she suspected of being a Trump supporter, she'd call police on when, if they showed up at a school board meeting or anywhere near a school board meeting. And then the police would go to the car and actually run the license plates to identify the person. Likely, if that person had a child somewhere in that superintendent's school system, that child would face retribution or something like that. Because why would you run the plates and identify the person unless you plan to do something to them, right? So, yeah, and the schools are in on it, police are in on it. It's amazing how partisan everything has gotten, but I doubt they're the only school system who's doing that, mind you. Right, we already know that the FBI has been on this kind of thing. Now you got the local police departments in on it too, the school superintendent in on it. They really don't like anyone who is opposed to them, do they? They're going to use every tool they have at their power to hold on to power. And now we have the IRS buying 40 caliber submachine guns. Why? Why does the IRS need submachine guns in addition to assault rifles and basic pistols? What are they planning? Maybe they're going to go after people that look Trumpish too. It's crazy the level of partisanship and retribution against the political opposition that this government is getting to. local police and school districts arresting people or spying on people just because they happen to have the wrong look about them. What's next? People getting arrested over social media posts that don't threaten anybody? And being accused of terrorism, by the way, felony terrorism. If that person didn't have a good lawyer, or if he was in a Democrat district, this could have ended pretty badly. So, where does this go from here? What new level of depravity will this government reach? No one seems to be challenging it or stopping it. We had that minor court victory in the case of the felony terrorism charge for a social media post that didn't threaten anybody. But what next? Can we really rely on such victories in court? How are they going to be few and far between? Gee whiz, look at what happened to Rudy Giuliani when he had his day in court, right, recently. An Obama-appointed judge found that Rudy Giuliani was guilty because he didn't turn over his devices to the court or the lawyers or the whoever was investigating him. The trouble is, he didn't have them because the FBI already took them. So this prosecutor demanded that Rudy Giuliani turn over these, cell phones, laptops, etc., that the FBI actually had. But obviously he can't do it because the FBI has them, so the judge rules he's guilty because he doesn't have these things that the FBI already took. How do you get more corrupt and crooked than that? But it's an Obama-appointed judge. What do you expect from them? Justice? That's not what you're going to get. You're going to get partisanship, because that's what they do. That's what they exist to do and thrive upon. They're not there, these left-wing judges, left-wing district attorneys, left-wing police officers, left-wing school superintendents. None of them are there to serve the community. They're there to serve the Democrat Party. They're there to serve the left-wing talking points of the day. They have no interest in anything fair or just or abiding by the law unless they can stretch the law to suit their aims. And we see that, in fact, with the FACE Act, how that's being applied to some pro-life protesters who were pro-life activists, I should say, who were arrested on FACE Act violations, even though they didn't actually violate the FACE Act, but that's what the court decided because, you know what, they don't like pro-life protesters, so they're just going to start arresting them under FACE Act violations. Meanwhile, left-wing terrorists are going around torching crisis pregnancy centers. They ain't facing FACE Act violations. Hell, they're lucky if the FBI even bothers to arrest them. Well, the pro-life crisis pregnancy centers are lucky if the FBI bothers to arrest the people who go after them. So, laws that do exist are being applied unequally, and other laws are just being made up, because I'm pretty sure there was at least no law that says that if the FBI has your stuff, you can't be compelled to turn it over because you don't have it anymore. But it seems that the left-wing judge in Rudy Giuliani's case has found that, you know what, I'm just going to legislate from the bench. That, yes, even if you don't have the device because the government already has it, we can still arrest you and give you a guilty verdict just because you don't have that device that we already have. What's next? Are they going to have a SWAT team raid your house because, I don't know, you were posting the wrong social media post about the government, and then they yank your laptop away, and then the judge compels you to turn the laptop over, but you still don't have it because the SWAT team took it and smashed it or whatever? Why not? What's to stop them? They've already done aspects of both of those things that I just mentioned. It's already been done in one form or another, so why not put them together? What's stopping them? A conservative lawyer, maybe? Kind of not, maybe, at this point, because Democrats have entire groups dedicated to challenging conservative lawyers, to ruining their careers. You know, if they think that this lawyer is a threat, or if this lawyer is taking a case that the Democrats don't approve of, what are they going to do? They're going to go after this lawyer, his law firm, his family. They're going to obliterate this guy's career, stomp him out, and scare every other attorney from taking your case. Boy, and I bet you that public defender who gets your case, too, after all that is said and done, they're not going to be doing it too competently because they're going to be terrified for their career because, guaranteed, their boss is a Democrat, and that boss is telling them to throw the case. So, that's where we're at right now. We have a corrupt, crooked left-wing DOJ, corrupt, crooked local police departments, corrupt, crooked school districts calling police on people who look Trumpish. And we have a corrupt, crooked FBI arresting people and spying on parents. And we have corrupt, crooked judges who are just making random laws from the bench because they feel like it, because it's a Tuesday and they're far to the left and they don't care. So I think justice is dead in this country at this point. I hate to say that, but if you're lucky, you'll find a conservative lawyer who's not afraid to fight, but then they will be very shortly if the Democrats disapprove of the case that you're bringing and if they disapprove of you. However, maybe that's a good reason for all of us to become millionaires, because I think that's the only reason that Trump hasn't been sunk yet. His millions are keeping him afloat. But look at all the stuff they're bringing against him. They are trying to bring him down. And as if what I was just telling you over the past 10 minutes or so wasn't bad enough, keep in mind what they're doing to Trump is a stark warning for you. This is what they're going to do to you if you let them. If Trump doesn't win the election, if we don't if we don't radically reform our justice system. More Silker Joe Show next.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Come get back to school ready with me and the brands I've partnered with. ThredUp is a one-stop shop where you can clean out your closet and buy affordable, sustainable secondhand clothing. Go to ThredUp.com/cleanout, order their signature polka dot bag or print a shipping label, and send ThredUp your gently worn items. They'll do all the work to resell your items. Target has all the national brands that you are looking for, and with deals starting at just $1, Target has all the back-to-school and back-to-college essentials you'll need. From T-Mobile, pick up a free 5G smartphone like the exclusive Rebel 6 Pro 5G or the award-winning Sync Up Kids Watch for free. Fairlife ultra-filtered milk is a great-tasting source of nutrition for families like mine. With 50% more protein and 50% less sugar than regular milk, Fairlife's 14-ounce bottles offer great-tasting, nutrition-rich products made to enjoy on the go. For more information on these brands, visit their websites.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. It's back to school season, and teachers, parents, and students from kindergarten to college can find everything they need to succeed at Office Depot Office Max. With savings up to 60% on the company's best-selling school supplies through September 16th. And must-haves like Crayola products, spiral notebooks, composition books, and glue starting at just 50 cents, Office Depot Office Max is ready to kick the new school year into gear. Shoppers can get even more discounts and earn rewards towards future purchases with a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards membership. Need your school supplies fast? Customers can take advantage of the company's free 20-minute in-store pickup or opt for same-day delivery for qualifying orders. Office Depot and Office Max stores are supporting hundreds of Title I public schools across the country with an in-store donation program. Make a donation at checkout to help a local school in your community get new supplies to create a more productive learning environment. Visit officedepot.com/back to school.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So for those of you outside the state of Virginia, you might not have been aware of certain things going on inside the state. The governor, Republican Glenn Youngkin, he issued a model policy for dealing with trans kids in the school system, and several school districts have parted from it. Notably, the Virginia Beach and Fairfax County school districts have decided that they're going to part with the policy. The trouble is, it's a legally binding policy. They don't really have the authority to separate from it. Joining us now to talk about this, we have Erica Sanzi. She is Director of Outreach at Parents Defending Education. She is a former educator herself and elected school board member and currently serves on the board of advisors for the Boys Initiative. Erica, thank you for being on the show today. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yep. Happy to have you. So what's going on here with these school systems refusing to follow the governor's model policy?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, we have, you know, an ideological capture going on here where the schools have adopted this belief that in order to be inclusive and tolerant and kind, you have to participate in the delusion that if a person simply says they identify as something different, it means that they are that thing. The other thing happening in Virginia and elsewhere is it's a battle of the lawyers. So the Youngkin administration, including the attorney general, you know, they feel that the law is on their side on this. I happen to agree with them. So they, you know, are firmly in the camp of 100 years of law that says that parents get to direct the education and upbringing of their children. The school district has lawyers who disagree and who think that state and federal anti-discrimination laws require that students, again, be allowed to access accommodations based on how they say they identify. And if that's that they identify as the opposite sex, they're supposed to be given full access to those spaces.
Hmm. Now, you'd think, at least in the Fairfax County area, they would have learned that maybe this isn't such a good thing to blunder into after the what was happened in their neighboring Loudoun County with the trans individual who decided to rape someone and then got transferred to another school where they sexually assaulted someone else. But instead of coming out with that, they tried to cover it all up.
Because I think that part of this ideology and belief system is that, you know, they don't think that the transgender or gender fluidity of that person who raped that student, they don't think it's relevant. I think that's part of the problem, right, is that they're not even acknowledging the basic facts of what occurred there. So it is kind of mind-blowing, though, that this is the hill that so many school districts, and unfortunately, you know, at the national and state levels, that the Democratic Party has decided that they're going to die on the hill of essentially taking the position that it's not only okay, but it's virtuous and necessary to keep secrets from parents of students. I mean, if there's one thing we always knew, right, whether you coached or you taught, anytime you do anything with kids, they tell you that a huge red flag is when an adult is telling a child to keep a secret from their parents. And yet that has become the policy, not only in places like Virginia. Like, we've tracked over 10 million students now attend schools that have a written policy that say that they will either allow or require staff to withhold information about gender from the student's parents. So Youngkin, in some ways, Youngkin was like a really exciting and important development for a lot of people because he came out and said, no, we're not doing that. And he's an exception at the moment, it seems, in being, you know, as loud about it. But the problem is the school district, as you said, they think that they think the law's on their side. And honestly, like, the Youngkin administration's answer on this hasn't been great because they're saying, well, no, it's on our side. Parents should sue. But telling parents to sue is an extremely heavy lift for a lot of reasons. So unless an outside organization comes in and does it pro bono, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to happen.
Right. How many parents out there whose kids are affected by this actually can sue? Now, it's possible they can lead into a victory. We saw out in California, a parent got $100,000 because the school district transitioned their child without their knowledge. But that parent had to go through a lot of legal hurdles, probably a very long legal battle, very expensive legal battle. How many people can do that?
Right. And so they were represented by an organization that was willing to foot the bill. But it's not just that. First, you have to establish standing. And then you also have to be willing to have your name, you know, absolutely dragged through the mud, not only by your local school district, but by these activists who are so intimidating that, you know, I think for a lot of people, they're thinking, I just can't deal with this. I can't deal, you know, with such hatred and vitriol coming in my direction. And so I think, again, it takes a very special person and a very brave person to be willing to take that step.
Yeah, I don't think many people can handle, in addition to the potential expenses, unless an outside group helps them, the round-the-clock death threats over the phone that they're going to be getting. And certainly someone is going to put their address out there, which would be even more devastating.
Absolutely. I speak from experience that that is sort of exactly what will happen. And the other thing, too, is that for, I mean, most of these parents, all of them who are objecting to this are doing it out of love. But they're painted as being hateful bigots. And again, that is a really painful thing to be called in your community.
Yeah, and all this just seems to be some sort of effort to drive a wedge between parents and their kids. And I guess so the school system can remake the kids in their image.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's what I would say. I do think that the bad actors and that the sort of like philosophy and ideology absolutely are trying to do that. I don't think that some of the rank and file, you know, teachers or school staff, many of whom, by the way, object to these policies, but they're told that this is the condition of their employment, that they must, you know, go along with and adhere to these policies. But even the teachers who may kind of think that what Fairfax is doing is the right thing, I think that for a lot of them, they've just gotten, again, like caught up in this whole inclusion, kindness, tolerance, safety, space, support, and I think that that has sort of, it's irrational, but I don't think they've yet come to understand why their position on this is wrong. So I don't think all of them are looking to drive a wedge and, you know, take over and train students as revolutionaries who hate their parents. But unfortunately, I do think that there's a dark underbelly to this, and that is sort of what the goal is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of it, too, is you have the government coming out and, you know, members of the scientific community coming out and saying that this sort of thing is normal and natural when clearly it isn't. So, you know, it really gives these teachers who are on the fences, maybe, or who otherwise haven't, like you said, woken up to this problem, it gives them reasons to stay asleep to it.
100%. And the other thing is that even though we know that in so many cases with these kids, there's some other comorbidity involved, whether that's an anxiety issue, an eating disorder. Many of the students that are falling for this sort of like social contagion are on the autism spectrum. But the problem is that by the time the wheels come off and the child's life is essentially falling apart, and the only people there with them to hold their hand to get them through it are their parents, the teachers never see that part, right? So it's the school counselors and the school administration and the school board that pass these policies that put children, you know, on this path, and then they don't stick around for the collateral damage that they cause.
Mm-hmm. Erica Sanzi, thank you for being on the Silker Joe Show today. Real quick, where can we find out more about Parents Defending Education?
Our website is defendinged.org. All of our resources are there. People can look for incidents in their area, and they're certainly welcome
right.
to contact us.
Thank
if
you.
We have any
health month. We encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows, and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with 5 different tubes and bottles of topical medicine to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, Reflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
To the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So the case that I mentioned that Rudy Giuliani was facing, just to clear that up, that's not related to the indictments from last week. Rather, that is a separate case where on the two election workers who claimed he was smearing them or whatever, some federal judge in that case was the one that ruled that Giuliani must be guilty because he couldn't present the, in part anyway, because he couldn't present these electronic devices that in fact the FBI is in possession of and not him. So because, again, the government seizes your stuff as evidence, you can't present it yourself. That means you're guilty, according to this judge. Well, what a convenient coincidence, right? And here's the thing. There's such a thing as civil asset forfeiture, where the government can just, you know, say, I don't know, we think you have marijuana in your house or whatever, then storm in and, well, actually in this case, I guess it would be, we think you have, like, above the legal limit of marijuana in your house. So then they storm in, send their SWAT team in, shoot your dog or whatever they like to do, and then they steal all your electronic devices and sell them to make profit for whatever local police department or local FBI agency that's conducting the raid is doing. So now you no longer have those devices. Then a judge compels you to present them in a court case. Well, you don't have them. So now the judge says you're guilty. What a funny little system we have here where they can deprive you of evidence to defend yourself. It seems like this is not a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Rather, it's a government that hates the people with every fiber of its being, at least the people that are the political opposition to their tyranny, and perhaps the opposition to their real estate deals as well. We've seen that over in Maui, haven't we? And you know, each week I've been talking about it, you know, this is the third week in a row. It just gets weirder and weirder what's going on over there, right? But then we also saw some weird stuff going on with this hurricane coming in Florida. So the Florida gas stations, they end up getting contaminated fuel right before the hurricane makes landfall. Even better, the fuel is right in the area where the hurricane is going to make landfall. And apparently it just happened like a week ago is when the fuel arrived. Any fuel purchased after Saturday, August 26th, according to the Florida state group that's dedicated to this sort of thing, it says any fuel purchased at, I'm sorry, I didn't write out what the acronym was, FDACS. I guess you people in Florida know what that is. I have state agencies up here in Virginia I need to keep my eye on. So anyway, a quote from the FDACS down in Florida: any fuel purchased after 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 26th at stations supplied by Citgo from the Port of Tampa has a strong likelihood of being contaminated with diesel fuel. Now, Gateway Pundit, they have an article on this. It lists out the addresses of the various gas stations. And here's the thing, the way this fuel was contaminated, well, it makes it so that you can't operate your stuff. Millions of gallons of gasoline that were contaminated with diesel fuel. That's what the contamination was with. It's left vehicles and generators inoperable because of the contamination there. So, I mean, and the gas stations that distributed this fuel right where the hurricane was projected to come. So it's very interesting that that would happen right now, right there. And just as we're dealing with this possible sabotage out in Hawaii, right? And, you know, one of the survivors out there, actually, she came out blasting FEMA and the Small Business Administration for conflicting guidelines and paperwork on trying to get restarted. And, you know, she was saying how each agency is telling her, you need this paperwork, you need that paperwork, and it conflicts with each other as to what she needs in order to get restarted. So that's just piling that on. A lot of employees now, they're out of the job because, well, the agencies aren't telling people properly how to get started again, aren't telling businesses how to restart. So, or maybe are just lying to businesses about how to restart. So, top that on to what else was going on during the Maui fire. And I will tell you, Hawaii, they actually canceled their emergency alert system test for the month of September. You know, the same emergency alert system that didn't go off during the Maui fire. You'd think they would want to test it just in case another wildfire perhaps would start, because who knows, you got one down, maybe another's going to come around, right? They didn't exactly clear out some of the kindling out there that was used, so maybe there's areas that are going to face a fire again, but you know what? They don't care. They're not going to test the emergency alert system. Meanwhile, Maui residents are facing evictions from landlords, which is rather interesting because these evictions were made easier by an emergency housing proclamation that the governor of Hawaii made ahead of the fires. So another interesting bit of timing there, that this governor made this emergency proclamation making it easier for landlords to kick residents out right before the fire comes through. And now we also have this mysterious black curtain and specialist police that have been spotted around where the fire started. No drones allowed, and if you dither too long around the fire site, National Guard people will come up and tell you to get out of there. And you have Hawaiian Electric, the company that was blamed for this fire. They're saying that they actually shut the power down before the lines collapsed and landed on the stuff. So what really started this fire? We don't know at this point. And the government has made it clear they don't want us to know. Because, as I mentioned last week, in addition to this blackout around the area with an actual black curtain, they've also removed satellite photos, censored them, images of the fire starting, and they've even tried to censor video of the wildfires, try to stop people from posting video of the wildfires. Very interesting. So what little rough timeline we have of that? The elites want to build a big city on land in Hawaii, right around that area. The state then makes it easy for landlords to evict people. Then the day of the fire, Hawaii's power company shuts off the electricity in the area that the wildfire started, but it still starts anyway and is blamed on down power lines, and then blamed on climate change later on. The government warns no one. Their emergency system that they refuse to test is not used. The government sets up roadblocks to stop people from evacuating. The government tells people to shelter in place, which are the last things that should have been done. I don't mean last as in chronological order. I mean those should not have been done, period. It's the last advice you'd want to hear, because that led to people dying. Telling them to shelter in place, stopping them from evacuating, that kept them in the path of the fire. That killed them. The government killed the people. And then the water gets cut off right when the fires are being beaten. They were winning against the fires. Then suddenly the water runs out, and the government refused to for 5 hours to bring in more water. Then the government says it wants to buy up all this damaged land that has been destroyed by the wildfires, purged of people by the wildfires. The government then says it will stop anyone it doesn't like from buying or selling that land that it wants. The government then gives very little aid to the people left, not enough to rebuild, certainly not enough to rebuild. In fact, the people, well, as I mentioned last week, $700 is what their allotment was, not even enough to stay in a hotel for a night that FEMA workers are staying at. So now you have landlords kicking people out whose homes actually survived the fire. And it was made possible again by the government right before the fire happened, 3 weeks before the fire. The same government that now wants the land. The same government that, as I've mentioned before, was right there while the embers were still burning, saying, hey, we want this land. They acted so fast that they must have been planning for it. And this emergency proclamation from 3 weeks prior seems to indicate that. And then the government deliberately undercounts the carnage when reporting to people across the country. I mean, 2,000 kids just disappeared at a time that we're told that less than 400 had been killed by the fire. And then the government censors satellite images of the fire, censors anyone trying to show images of the fire. The government blocks off the area that the fire started, with special police and National Guard enforcing the block. And I keep saying special police because that's how residents and local journalists describe them. Special police, that's their quote. So it must be some outside agency or special officers or something like that, certainly not run-of-the-mill. And now one person who may have had a role in gathering evidence about whether or not this was man-made artificial fire, arson, or the simple power company failing, or any kind of failing in the local area, the police chief, now it turns, and also someone who would have had at least a role in evacuating, because that is what the police department is supposed to help in, so this is the guy who would have ordered the roadblocks to trap people in the fire. It turns out this is a known cover-up artist for the government. It's the same guy who refused to investigate the Las Vegas mass shooting in 2017. Now he's over in Maui as the local police chief telling people to stay in their homes and die from the fire. So on the one hand, you know, these are Democrats in a Democrat state being treated as Democrats by the Democrat Party, but on the other hand, given the uniparty in D.C., you wouldn't really expect any different from certain alleged Republican states. Like, say, Georgia, for example, or perhaps even certain parts of Florida ran by Democrats. Again, we have no idea. It really looks like this is a government sabotage operation in Maui, and then you have now sabotage in Florida as the hurricane's coming in. And I've went over in the last segment just how violently the government hates its own citizens, sending SWAT teams because of a nonviolent social media post, charging you with felony terrorism because of a nonviolent social media post. Then you have the court case that I opened up the segment with, where the judge says that because the government already seized the evidence for another case, and you can't present it because our government already has it, that must mean you're guilty. What the hell? There's no, do you think a government like that would be above burning people out for a real estate deal? And look at how they treat the inmates in our prison system. Look how they treat the January 6th prisoners, deny them trials for years now. Do you really think that they're above burning out a few people if they want the land? I don't think so. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
In 2021, New York Times bestselling author Victoria Aveyard introduced Realmbreaker, the first book in an epic fantasy adventure series. Realmbreaker and its highly anticipated sequel, Bladebreaker, both debuted at number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Now, readers can enjoy Bladebreaker in paperback. The fight for Allward is far from over. Queen Erida continues her march through Allward, crumbling castles and conquering kingdoms with an unstoppable army. To raise an army of their own, Corraine and her companions face perilous lands, dangerous mercenaries, and seething monsters. But will they be strong enough to confront the latest evil that Queen Erida has unlocked? Author Victoria Aveyard.
Bladebreaker has all the twists and turns, magic and action that readers enjoyed from Realmbreaker. This time, the fate of the world is at stake, and Corraine must defeat Queen Erida's wicked forces to become the hero she's destined to be.
Bladebreaker is now available in paperback, wherever books are sold.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. but get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
And this is something that he's been pushing for, arguably, for the past 7.5 years. And when you talk to the president, you hear him talk, he thinks that this is one of the most significant aspects of his legacy, that he has done something that unites the world around the goal of saving the planet. Now, as a practical matter, it's very interesting that this is happening on a day when there's a hurricane bearing down on the United States and in the Caribbean, because these severe storms, beach erosion, intense weather episodes that we've had are perhaps the most practical example of what the president is talking about as the threat that the planet faces. And this is what this whole climate agreement, signed by 190 nations and now ratified by about 60 or so, is designed to stop.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. I decided to play that clip. I grabbed it for, well, I didn't grab it. I actually just went into the archive and pulled it out for the Alan Nathan Show this week. I don't know if Alan actually played it or not. But what you hear in the clip is it's from MSNBC Live with Kate Snow from October 5th, 2016, where NBC's Ron Allen was talking about President Obama's climate push, trying to get the Paris Climate Agreement through. And he's saying how basically the climate agreement was designed to stop hurricanes from happening. How ridiculous can you get? But that's not MSNBC, but NBC's reporter, Ron Allen, who was doing that. So that's what mainstream news network that people, you know, even with their antennas, they don't even need a cable subscription to get NBC. Anyone can get NBC or go to their website. So a mainstream reporter from them in 2016 was talking about how climate change is responsible for hurricanes and the Paris Climate Accord was going to stop hurricanes from happening. Okay, these people are lunatics about the climate, have been for quite some time. And I guess it makes sense that, you know, regardless of how you think the Maui fire started, whether it was deliberate arson by the government or whether it was just a down power line catching some brush on fire, still, it's being blamed on climate change. Are we any much surprised, given how these are the same people who said that the Paris Climate Agreement was going to stop hurricanes from happening? Gee whiz. They really want you to forget everything you know about weather, everything you experience about weather, everything you know about how planets work, and just go with whatever they tell you that day, and then assume that it's settled science the moment it comes out of their mouth. The arrogance of such people to say that their climate agreement is going to stop a hurricane, or rather, the deception of such people. Because it's really just about getting you to buy into their agenda. I'm almost disappointed with humanity sometimes. Actually, no, I'm disappointed with humanity all the times. But anyway, so, you know, interesting. I'm going to move on now to a Babylon Bee headline from earlier this week that I thought was amusingly accurate. Donald Trump's trial for election interference set to begin in time to interfere with election. It's very true. Actually, his staff has to read through 70,000 documents per day until March to make this, in order to meet this date for the trial. And it's set for the day before Super Tuesday. Now, this is his case down in Georgia, you know, where the attorney general, or sorry, the special counsel, or whatever, the district attorney, Fannie Willis, that's what she is. There's a lot of these people flying around. One of my keep track of them, special counsel Jack Smith, deputy attorney, or district attorney Alvin Bragg, district attorney Fannie Willis. A lot of Democrats going after Trump at the expense of their own communities. So, anyway, Fannie Willis, she's going after Trump, and the trial date was set by an Obama-appointed judge, by the way, for March of 2024, just in time for Super Tuesday. It was the Monday before Super Tuesday. So, very much it's set to interfere with the primary. Now, it's possible that Trump will, by having that trial back in the headline, he'll sweep Super Tuesday because people will see what a horrific, biased DOJ we have that's doing such a thing to him. But also, again, the reason, you know, Trump, he wanted to put this off until 2026, and look at the document load per day that his attorneys have to go through. 70,000 documents per day is what they have to do to meet this deadline. It's no wonder he wanted to put this off until 2026. Give his attorneys time to do it. Maybe to go through a reasonable 5,000 documents per day instead of 70,000. But these are Democrats, and again, as I've said several times throughout the show, these are the same people who think that if the government seizes evidence from you in a separate case and you can't present the evidence because the government already has it, that must mean you're guilty and a guilty verdict will be thrown down at you because you somehow failed to maintain the evidence when the government itself is what took the evidence away. I'm not really anticipating justice in this case at all. So, in any of Trump's cases, because these are Democrats that are running them, Democrat judges, Democrat prosecutors, Democrat district attorneys, Democrat special counsels, Democrat juries from Democrat districts. You think you're going to get a fair trial? Donald Trump, of all people? Absolutely not. There's no way. He's going to get guilty verdicts handed down to him in all these cases. And it's going to have to be on appeal. And probably it's going to have to go all the way up to the Supreme Court, because, you know, imagine the coincidence that in each of these cases he'd get a Democrat judge, right? And that each of these cases would end up just being scheduled directly to interfere with the primary races, January when the primaries start, March right before Super Tuesday. Now, these cases are designed, and the judge appointments are designed, specifically to ensure that there's a guilty verdict at the politically opportune moment. So, that being said, it will probably have to go to the Supreme Court because so far random chance seems totally against Trump as far as getting a fair trial. And it's also obviously no coincidence that these cases are coming in Democrat districts where Democrat juries are going to be appointed. So, actually, the time we have left now, speaking of the government hating people, I need to get to this last topic here. It seems like we're going to have another pandemic, folks. The Biden administration has been urging the U.S. government to... Oh, actually, this is another Babylon Bee headline that was kind of funny. Biden urges U.S. government to fund vaccine for virus U.S. government funded, which is true. Right now, by the way, we're trying to get a new vaccine out there. And actually, Joe Biden said of this new COVID vaccine that they'll tell everyone to get it whether they have been vaxxed or not. And further, the current head of the NIH, the new one who replaced Fauci, is a vaccine lockdown excess control freak, and we have all these media stirrings about a new COVID variant, and then you have these whistleblowers from various government agencies coming out and saying that they've been told there will be new COVID policies that involve mask mandates and lockdowns. So I think they're on the verge of making sure that we have mail-in voting again next year. And of course, a nice government-funded vaccine for the government-funded virus, as Babylon Bee accurately pointed out. What a world we live in. No justice, no peace. Anyway, folks, thank you for tuning into the Silker Joe Show today. Appreciate it. And our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Of course, social media pages, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, Getter, G-E-T-T-R.com, at Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.